Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning, Jackie.
What enthusiasm. You got to just love it. What a privilege to gather together to worship and to learn, to share one another's burdens, and to experience some measure of joy. Psalm 71, verse 23 says, My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, I whom you have delivered. You know, joy is different from happiness. Joy is a state of being, and happiness may come and go, because happiness is usually measured by our circumstances, whereas joy is measured by what we have been given. As Christians, we have been given something that cannot be taken away. We have joy because of the grace of Jesus Christ that lives in us. And we can hold on to joy. We can feel joyful even when sad and broken. And we can rejoice with praise no matter what our circumstances. Joy is not a smile on our face, but it is an assurance in our heart. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but no matter what is going on in our lives, God is always near." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather today from many places and many different circumstances. For those with troubled hearts, give peace, comfort, and the assurance that you are with them. Meet us here, Lord, and lift all of our hearts with the authentic joy that comes only from you. We lift our worship and praise to you, even in our troubled moments. It's because of Jesus we can come, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. This is considered to be the most joyous hymn in the English language. May the words and the music bring joy to your heart. Please stand as you are able.
Give her of it more, total gladness, fill us.
Yes, we have joy. A mentor once explained to me, actually I think this was Pat Lamb, that the simplistic explanation of the difference between Christianity and other religions is the basis of most... Whoops, I think I typed that wrong. Anyway, the difference between Christianity and most other religions is that the basis of most other religions is man reaching up to God. But in Christianity, God reached down to man. He reached down with a plan of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. Our next song reminds us of why we have joy and what we believe. Participate in Holy Communion, a precious and interactive moment when we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for each of us and we celebrate the gift of his mercy in forgiving our sin. Number 618, let us break bread together.
The children to come forward for the children's time. And you wayward folks in the aisle, you need to settle down. I hope you got it all out of your system. No way. It's just so good to see everyone. I know. That is a beautiful thing. Well, this morning I wanted to talk to you about how we get directions to go somewhere. And, you know, it used to be in the old days you had a paper map, and I couldn't even find any paper maps at my house. I had to print one off. This is how you go from my house to, this is Bethany up here. But it's kind of like when Moses was in the desert with the people, God gave him the Ten Commandments, and that was how they were written down. That was how you could live your life. So if your parents want to know how to get somewhere, what do? Do they pull out their phone? Yeah, or GPS maybe, or maybe they know how to get everywhere they want to go. Sometimes I have to pull my phone out. And let's say we're going to go to, what should we look for? Let's say we're going to Smiley's. Yeah, it won't be open until 2 o'clock, but we'll say go now.
Let's take Lee Highway and Old Bridgewater Road, Mount Crawford.
Yeah, so now the map talks to you and it tells you which way to go. And that's kind of like, you know, the people early on, they had Moses and the Ten Commandments, but then God sent them Jesus to tell us how it was we were supposed to live our lives. It's kind of like going from a paper map to GPS saying, turn here, do this. And Jesus tells us, you know, how we're supposed to love one another, how we're supposed to treat one another. And so we have this kind of, through the Bible, we have this way of Jesus talking to us and talking to our hearts and getting us to go in the right direction if we pay attention and listen, right? That's the important part. And it's not always easy to hear what God's telling us to do, but sometimes if you're still and you listen and you pray, you will hear the right thing to do. So let's put our hands together. Dear God, thank you for bringing us all here together in this one place. Help us to show each other the love we have for one another. Amen. And you can go to Children's Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading is going to be from Matthew 12, 22 through 32, if you'd like to follow along. Then they brought him to a demoniac who was blind and mute, and he cured him so that the one who had been mute could speak and see. All the crowds were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons, that this fellow cast out the demons." He knew what they were thinking and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I outcast demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own exorcists cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Or how can one enter into a strong man's house and plunder his property without first trying up the strong man? Then indeed the house can be plundered. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, people will be forgiven for every sin and blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your words read aloud. And Lord, sometimes we have to puzzle over what it is you say to us through the scripture. But Lord, be with us in our meditations this morning. Help us to see where it is you are leading and guiding us today. In the name of your Son, I pray. Amen. Well, there was a businessman who was opening a new store, a new branch of his business, and he received a flower arrangement. And when he looked at the card, he was a little puzzled because it said, "With deepest sympathy." Now, well, that's really an odd thing to send someone when they're opening a new business. But he just put it aside. He was busy. He had other things to do. But later that afternoon, the phone rang, and it was the florist. And the florist said, "I have to apologize because I mixed up the card that was supposed to go on your arrangement with someone else's." He said, and so unfortunately, I sent the card that was meant for you to a funeral. And the storekeeper said, "Well, what did my card say?" I said, "Congratulations on your new location." You have to wonder what the family was thinking, but maybe it was good news to them, right? Sometimes we don't always truly comprehend the message. It gets garbled. And so I was reading Matthew, and I guess I chose this text because it's one that people have come to me with questions about. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And I guess one of the things I have to remind myself of about Matthew's gospel is that Matthew sees the cosmos is divided into two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, and then there is the realm of Satan. And so these two things exist at the same time. And when I think about that, it makes me think of Star Wars. I think that Matthew would have enjoyed watching Star Wars. I think so, because it really is clearly defined who are the forces for evil and who are the forces for good, especially in the first three movies, which are actually 4, 5, and 6, but we won't get into all that. And I found out very recently, that when George Lucas was writing the script, he originally called Luke Skywalker Luke Starkiller, which is an odd name, and he decided to change it, and he was writing this in the mid-70s, and he said, "I felt a lot of people were confusing him with someone like Charles Manson when I was writing the script." And so at that time, Charles Manson was still in the news. I think the book Helter Skelter had just come out, so he changed it to Skywalker, which is a much better name. But you know, here you have good versus evil. And so, you know, there's a healing at the beginning of this reading, but it's kind of the impetus to get the whole scene moving. It's really about Jesus and the Pharisees. And so, you know, Jesus does this healing, and the Pharisees say, "Oh, he did that by the spirit of Beelzebul. He did it, you know, that's what it was." And Jesus refutes this with logic. He says, you know, "How could I be casting out demons through the power of a demon? It doesn't make sense. No city or house divided against itself will stand." That's the first thing he sort of puts aside. And most of chapter 12 is about the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. And he tells them, I think this message is directed at the Pharisees, "I tell you, people will be forgiven for every sin and blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." And when I hear that, the first thing I think of, but wait, we're taught about grace, that God can forgive any sin as long as we confess, right? As long as we accept God's forgiveness. But he says, this blasphemy is unforgivable, and that makes me pause. 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so this and many other verses speak about God's forgiveness and mercy and how we can receive grace. Well, some people think that this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of Christ's offer to forgive our sins, that if we don't accept the gift of grace, then we don't receive forgiveness, and then we're not forgiven. But I think there's a little more going on here than that. The Pharisees are... There's sort of three entities in the scripture. You've got, besides the person who was blind and mute, we don't really hear much about him once his demon is cast out, once he's healed. But there are the Pharisees, there's Jesus, there's the crowd. And Jesus is warning the Pharisees, I think, that they're going down the wrong path. They're not just disbelieving that Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus even says, "Hey, if you, you know, if you speak against the Son of Man, that's okay. You can be forgiven for that." But he's warning them that the Pharisees are doing something else. They're leading the crowd astray. So they're not just saying, "I'm not going to believe in Jesus." They are trying to get the crowd not to believe in Jesus. And so I think that's what Jesus is really getting at. But it's not immediately obvious in the text. And I had a young woman come to me one day, and she was very upset. I guess agitated would be a better word. She was fearful that when she was younger, that she had committed blasphemy against the Spirit and therefore could never be forgiven. Because when she was a teen, she didn't fully believe in God, and she was afraid that in her youthful ignorance she had said something that God would find unforgivable. And it was bothering her, and we talked about it. And she's not the only person I've met who is trying to reconcile the idea of an unforgivable sin with a God of grace. But we talked about it, and I believe that anyone who takes their faith in God seriously and asks for forgiveness is welcome in the kingdom of God and can't commit that unforgivable sin that Jesus mentions. I think he's directing his criticism at the Pharisees, these people who are, it's not just that they don't believe in Jesus, but it's also they're kind of positioning themselves in Matthew's gospel in the realm of Satan. Right, they're trying to lead other people astray, and they're trying to hold on to their power. They're trying to keep control of things. They want to keep things just as they are. And so the question is, Jesus says, the kingdom of God came near when I cast out this demon. It's come to you, but the Pharisees don't recognize it. They are kind of trapped in this worldview, trapped by, I guess you'd call it, religion, looking at the tradition, the way things have always been, and deciding that everything has to stay this way. And that's a problem. And it's not that the Pharisees can never be forgiven, because Paul was a Pharisee. He had that conversion experience, and he believed in Jesus Christ. He understood who Christ was. But I think Jesus is telling the Pharisees, if you get caught, your religion has become a trap for you, and now you don't seem to be able to get out of it. Somewhere along the line, says Barbara Brown Taylor, we bought or were sold the idea that God is chiefly interested in religion. We believe that God's home was the church, that God's people knew who they were, and that the world was a barren place for lost souls in need of all the help they could get. But the problem is, many of the people in need of saving are in the churches, and at least part of what they need saving from is that God sees the world the same way that they do. What if the parking lot outside was just as good a place to save souls as the building inside? What if our witness to God was our lives, not our lives in here, but our lives outside? What if God could drop in anywhere with no regard for altars or pews or, well, coffee hour? Although we've learned to live without coffee hour, I welcome the day it comes back. What's interesting to me is that if Matthew sees the world as the realm of Satan and the kingdom of God, where are we in that? When you watch Star Wars, you don't root for the Empire. You don't want Darth Vader to prevail, right? Even Han Solo, who is not that convinced of the mission at first, because he's a smuggler for hire, realizes by the end of the movie what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And so we are called to understand what in our lives, what is good and what is evil, what keeps us from God, what holds us back, and what brings us nearer. And the question is, which do we give more weight to? Do we give more weight to the good, to our prayer life, to worship? or are we more about power, control, religious tradition? And which side does God want us to be on? But I believe that we are not so lost that we have mistaken evil for good. But still, the question of what is good is one we need to ask ourselves, not once, but many times throughout our lives, because unfortunately, life is not as clear-cut as Star Wars. It isn't just the evil empire and the rebel forces for good, but we need to look and see and use the reason that God gave us to discern what is for the good and how can we be a force for good. Amen. Now, I don't know if he's ready to say a few words. Sean, would you like to say a few words, or would you like to put that off till next Sunday?
Morning. I wrote a few notes here, so. So I was thinking, you know, I guess it's been probably 9 years. My family first attended an Easter egg hunt. It was at the Weir's Cave Community Center on a Saturday. And then on that Sunday, we began our time here at Bethany. Bethany has been and will continue to be a very special place for our family, and everyone here has become a very essential part of our family. You know, when I first came into Bethany, you know, I was fine with just sitting in the back. I had my own personal pew, and I was fine with just sitting there and not doing anything. But for anyone that attends Bethany, you know, Bethany is a very active church, and it's hard as just to sit. So being very active and being involved has helped me grow in my relationship with Jesus, and it's actually really helped me to discover, you know, God's call on my life and on my family. On July 1st, me and my family will begin a new journey as I have accepted a position at Parnassus United Methodist Church as a full-time lay supply pastor. I just wanted to thank each one of you here that has helped me discover God's call on my life. God has called me to do some amazing things here at Bethany. From leading a small group to leading an awesome group of youth. There was times I was able to fill in for the pastor here, and I'd like to thank you for sitting here and listening to the good and the bad, I'm sure. But I really thank you for loving me, my family, and loving my kids. I truly feel like this is not goodbye, but more of a till we meet again. I love each one of you, and just thank you so much.
I love you too. Well, please keep Sean and his family in your prayers. He's taken a big step. And doing it in faith. And I had a pastor who was a former Navy chaplain, and he said it's like the parachute packing test. You pack your parachute, you jump out of the plane. It's pass-fail. But Sean, you'll be fine. You will be fine, and we will be praying for you. I have a few announcements here. We are collecting kits for a conference, and the list for what goes into that. We're doing modified school kits and health kits, and you can see the list of things in the newsletter, and also just outside the sanctuary, there's a flyer that's got all the information in it. We are also looking for volunteers to lead children's church. There are lessons that are made up. It takes, they're about 20 to 25 minutes, and just would love to have some folks willing to do that. It's actually a lot of fun, so we lift that up to you. And do we have any other announcements? Okay. Well, yes.
Just wanted to thank everyone for your prayers for Kelly. Her surgery to remove her gallbladder was very successful, and she's at home. In fact, had the surgery one day and then came home the next morning. So we're so grateful for your prayers and your support during that time. It was a little scary because we didn't know what was going on. So thank you so much, and just praise the Lord as well.
Well, good to hear a joy. Yes.
I just wanted to announce that some people know that, and some people don't. Garrett has been applying to become a physical therapy assistant and to get into a physical therapy, a PTA program. And so last week, he was accepted into the program down at Winfield Community College. It's a 2-year program that starts this fall.
Oh, wonderful. That is wonderful. We're all happy for Garrett. So we've moved into prayer concerns, joys and concerns, which is exactly where I was going. Do we have other joys or concerns this morning? I mentioned Gail Thornberry, the minister who came down with COVID and was in the ICU. Yesterday they said she had between 24 and 48 hours to live. They don't expect her to survive. So please keep Gail's and her family in your prayers. They're not able to keep her oxygen levels up even on the ventilator. Any other joys or concerns? Well, let us pray. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we come to you today and we confess that we do not always take time to stop and spend time with you. We don't take time to converse with you always. But Lord, forgive us and help us to find our rest, our comfort, our joy in you. Lord, help us to draw near to you and to find that refreshing of the Spirit in you. Open our ears, open our hearts so that we might receive your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us never to turn anyone away from your loving embrace. We pray for those who are in need of healing. We rejoice with those who have received healing. We rejoice for new beginnings. Lord, continue to help us to be the body of Christ in the world. Help us to continue to bear good fruit and to share it abroad. May all that we do be pleasing to you. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our service with Holy Communion, and so hopefully you have one of the little contained cups of juice and wafer. And there is, let me do this. When you open your little cup, the wafer, there's two pieces of plastic, and under the first piece is the wafer, under the second one is the juice. So, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Because we're going to follow the liturgy that's in the hymnal. So if you would turn to page 13 in your hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for you, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now pray with me the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The cup of Christ poured out for you. And now let us take part through the eating of this bread and the drinking of this cup. I hope, this isn't blasphemous, but I hope that the next time we do communion, we can use real bread and real juice. This is the body and blood of Christ. May it refresh you and renew your spirit. Amen. And now let us stand as we're able, and we're going to sing the final hymn.
Please stand. My life is in you.
One, two, three.
Is in you, Lord, my
strength is the Lord. May you go forth from strength to strength. Amen.
Amen. One, two, three.